Hello, guys. Excited to be here tonight, continuing in our series, Manic. It's been an awesome series. And tonight, we're going to be in Psalms 52. But before we get into it, you know, the Bible tells us there are two kinds of people in this world. Those who love God and love God's goodness, and those who love evil and love their wickedness. There's believers and there's non-believers. There's sons of God and there's sons of Satan. You see, there really is no middle area. It's either A or B. There is no C. You're either for God or against God. And tonight, we'll see a man who truly is a son of God, David, and a man who truly is a son of Satan, Doeg. In the text we're studying tonight, but before we get into that, I want to recap with you guys, because this psalm that we're looking at, there's a story that goes along with it. There's a story behind who David's writing to, and you guys actually, if you come to the weekend services of Legends and Men, you just went through this story with Jesse through 1 Samuel 22. And just to kind of recap, for those of you who don't come to the weekend services, I'm gonna kind of get you caught up to what David's addressing here, who David's addressing here. But basically what's going on in 1 Samuel 22 is Saul, the king of Israel, has pretty much, he's lost his mind, and he's plotting to kill David, one of his most faithful servants, one of his most faithful warriors, soldiers. Jonathan, Saul's son, convinces David to flee so he's not killed by Saul. And David runs and comes across Amalek, a priest, and requests help from him by asking for food and supplies, saying he's on the king's business. So David tells a little white lie, isn't totally honest with the priest, and said he's on the king's business. So the priest obliges and helps David, not knowing he's helping him against King Saul's wishes. And during all this, this guy Doeg is listening to the entire thing and goes and tells Saul, King Saul, Amalek is helping David. They're going to overthrow you. They're plotting against you, which wasn't the case at all. David never wanted to overthrow Saul. He was completely loyal to him. And even when Saul wanted to kill David, he was still loyal to him. But Doeg withholds the information from Saul that these priests were unaware that they were helping David against the king's wishes. And so Saul gets enraged and orders Amalek and all these priests that he brings with them to come to Saul. And Saul orders them to be killed, women and children and their animals. And none of Saul's men want to do it because they don't want to murder these priests of God. But this dude Doeg, who knows these men are innocent because he was the one there listening, slaughters them for Saul. So this Doeg dude is an evil, evil dude. Do you guys remember this guy from Jesse's teaching? For those of you who were at the of Legends of Men from 1 Samuel, yeah, some of you guys nodding. But anyway, we're going to be looking at David's response to this circumstance, this story, and basically his instruction, if you will, addressing this evil dude Doeg and really giving us the road of deceivers and how they are and what they do and how God is going to deal with them and what a believer in God looks like, and what believers in God will enjoy for loving God and His goodness. So we really get a contrast of deceivers and believers. So that's the title of our message tonight, Deceivers and Believers. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity tonight, Lord, to come here and worship you, to open your word, and to just be changed by it, God. I just pray right now that you would truly give these students supernatural focus to know that you are speaking to them, Lord. This isn't my story or my wisdom. This is your word. And so, Father, I just pray that you would use me as a tool in your hands to instill these truths and these principles that we get out of your text tonight, Lord. And so I just pray that that they would truly have receptive hearts and that they would walk out of here changed and growing in their faith by hearing your word. And so we entrust this all into your mighty hands in your son's name. Amen. So guys, turn to Psalm 52. And the first point we're going to see tonight, this Doeg dude, yes, he kind of has his time to shine. He's exalting himself. He's getting in good with the king. But what you'll see as we study this text is evildoers' limelight is short-lived. And if you don't know what limelight is, basically, I don't know if you guys know who Notorious B.I.G. is, but now I'm in the limelight because I rhyme tight. You know what it is, basically. Maybe that's too soon. You guys are too young. But you know, limelight is basically when all eyes are on you, when everybody's looking at you. And see, evildoers have a season where people will be looking at them, where they maybe are successful, but that time is short-lived. And so evildoers' limelight is short-lived. So Psalm 52, verse 1, David's addressing this Doeg guy. Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The loving kindness of God endures all day long. You see, Doeg wasn't just doing these evil things. He wasn't just scheming all this to have all these innocent priests destroyed. But he was actually bragging about it and boasting about it. And so Paul's addressing him here. And people who do evil works, people who love wickedness, it's never satisfying enough for them to just do these things. They love to go and brag about it to everyone, don't they? I mean, that's just kind of the way it is. It's not enough for them to just be doing these evil things. They want to brag about it and share it and tell their friends about it, how cool they are. And I found some pretty interesting illustrations of this. A young man named Michael Baker thought it was a great idea to siphon gas from cop cars. And so basically what that means is he would... That's kind of confusing. That's not the picture yet. But this guy, John Baker, he would siphon gas from cop cars. And basically what that means is he was sucking gas out of the cop car, filling it in his little canister, and then going and filling his car up. And he thought it was really funny. So he's stealing. And he ended up doing it so often, and he wanted to show his friends and show off and brag about it. So he actually took pictures of himself doing this and then posted it on Facebook. Well, the cops saw the pictures on Facebook and went and arrested him later that day. So real smart. But see, that's the point, is that he was doing it, but it wasn't enough to just do it. He wanted to brag about it. He wanted to show it off on Facebook. And so that's kind of what we're talking about here with Doeg. In a more extreme case, and that's the picture that they brought up, one man actually tattooed the scene of a murder that he committed on his own chest, having the liquor store that it was done in front of drawn, and that he shot this guy in front of, and he has himself as a helicopter. You can kind of see it up there in the corner, shooting the victim who he has displayed as a peanut. And, you know, this dude is seriously boasting. He's doing this because he wants to show off that he's a murderer, that he's evil. And when a local cop saw the case photos from this murder, he was a local cop who was familiar with this gangster who had this tattoo, and he was quoted telling him when he went to arrest him, "In your stupid, prideful boasting, you unintentionally tattooed a confession on your chest." Wow, dude. Wow. It's like, see, these guys aren't very smart. People who love wicked, they don't really think a lot, do they? They just kind of do stuff without even thinking about the consequences. And clearly, you know, these guys, when they do evil things, they want to boast about it. They want to share it with their friends and talk about it and build themselves up. And you see, people in the world, sons of Satan, find pleasure not only in doing evil, but in sinning, but they love bragging about their sin to others. And that's what this Doeg dude is doing here. And this is the first contrast we see between what a deceiver and a believer looks like. Because you see, David was just as much of a sinner as this Doeg dude. What David did with Bathsheba and having an affair and then ordering her husband to be sent to the front of the lines to be killed, that was just as deceptive and just as evil and just as bad as what this Doeg dude betraying all David and all these priests. But see, what the difference is how David reacts to his sin. You see, David wasn't boasting about sin in his life. He was ashamed of it. He hated his sin. And he hated himself for sinning. And as followers of Christ, we will still sin like everyone else. However, our reaction to our sin should not be to boast and brag about it, but to hate it and turn from it and confess it to God. Why? Why do we confess it to God? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay, see, so there's the contrast, there's the difference. A deceiver will do evil and will do sin and will go out and brag about it to his friends, whereas a believer, we hate our sin. We hate sin the way God hates sin, and we turn from it We don't want to sin. We don't want to continue in that. We turn to God. And you know, I want to ask you guys, what is your reaction to sin in your life? When you do something you know is wrong, or that hurts someone else, or goes directly against God's word, do you boast about it to people? Maybe at school you say hurtful things to someone because you think it's funny, and you keep telling people over and over what you said, boasting about how funny you think you are. Or maybe you did something sexually with a girl, for you guys, or girls with a guy, and you think it's cool and you're bragging about it to all your friends, telling them because you think it's cool and they think it's cool. When you know that you're not supposed to be doing that, it goes against God's word. It's sexually immoral. Or maybe you lied to your parents and you got away with it. And so you brag to your friends about how you can fool your parents. Are you guys boasting and bragging about your sin? Or are you turning from it? Are you repenting of it? Are you changing your mind and saying, I hate sin, I don't want to sin? Do you look more like David or do you look more like Doeg? And you see, these types of things are going to happen throughout your life. You're going to lie to your parents sometimes. You might slip sexually and do something sexually immoral that you didn't want to do. But the point is, how do you react when sin comes into your life? And how you do react will tell you a lot about whether you're like David, a son of God, or whether you're like Doeg, a son of Satan. So in that text, we see that Doeg, this deceiver, this man, he's boasting and bragging about his evil. The Message translation says it this way: why do you brag of evil, big man? God's mercy carries the day. So David's saying, what are you boasting for, big shot? Your time to shine is but for a season. The goodness of God will last forever. That's the only thing worth boasting in. You see, David has eternity in perspective right here. He's not bothered by this temporary success of Doeg because he knows God's going to deal with Doeg. Doeg's time to shine is limited. He may be enjoying the limelight where he's exalting himself and succeeding, but God's only going to tolerate that for a short time. Those criminals we just talked about, they had their time to boast in themselves, but their time of glory was short-lived, wasn't it? They were posting stuff on Facebook. They were, he's walking around bragging about how he murdered someone tattooed on his chest, but they both ended up behind bars pretty quickly, didn't they? So their limelight is short-lived. In the world, that's just the way it is. The world, sons of Satan, they're looking for temporary success in this world, things to boast of that are not going to last forever. That's how the deceivers live. But as believers, we need to live not looking for temporary success in this world, but eternal success with God in heaven. And when you keep eternity in perspective like David has it here, you're not going to be bothered by temporary success of evildoers. Because we can do that, can't we? We can look and say, well, this guy's doing everything wrong. He does everything wrong, but somehow he's still climbing up the ladder. Yeah, well, his time to shine is going to be short-lived. God's going to deal with it. He's going to face judgment. Psalm 52:2, as David continues to address this Doeg guy, your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor, O worker of deceit. You see, deceivers like Doeg cause mass destruction with their tongue. He brought destruction to all these priests and their families with his deceitful tongue, withholding information from Saul and intending to fuel Saul's anger towards David and these innocent, righteous priests. So Doeg was hanging out. He's hanging out around David and the priests while all this is going on, pretending to be friendly and just kind of hanging around. And then he went and betrayed David and the priests and told Saul only what he wanted to. He didn't tell him that the priests had no idea that Saul didn't want David being helped. He didn't share that fact, and so the priest paid for it. And see, just it kind of reminds me, this might be a fun little analogy for you guys to think of, but it kind of reminds me of Scar in The Lion King. You know, Scar he pretends to be all buddy-buddy with Simba, right? I mean, he's like, oh, I'm the cool uncle. Come on, Simba, let's go over to this canyon, and I got a surprise for you. You just hang out here, little buddy, and I'm going to go over here, and I'll be right back. But the meanwhile, he had the hyenas planning to scare the antelope off the cliff, right, to come down and trample him. But that's not, that it even goes beyond that. Scar's looking to, he wants to be king. So he runs and pretends like he's going to tell Mufasa, oh, Mufasa, Mufasa, Simba's down in the canyon. And, you know, the antelope are stampeding. You gotta go and save him. But meanwhile, he wants Mufasa and Simba both dead. That's his plan for the whole thing, isn't it? And see, that's exactly what this Doeg guy is like, this deceiver. And you know, I knew people like that in school. And you guys probably know people like that. They pretend to be everybody's friend, but they go around turning people against each other and causing quarrels and fights between everyone. And sadly, maybe that person is you. I hope it's not. But I mean, that might be a reality. If you don't love God and you love wickedness, you can easily fall into this philosophy, this life, this lifestyle that Doeg's living. Charles Spurgeon says in his commentary that I read, deceitful people's tongues is like a sharp razor that can appear helpful, like shaving a man's beard, like Ethan back there, who does our sound. It can seem all friendly and he's, oh yeah, let me get your, yeah, I'll shave you real quick. But in an instant can be slitting his throat. And that's what these deceitful people are like. They can appear to be helpful, but really they have destruction in their hearts. Proverbs 12:18 says, there is one whose rash words are like swords thrusted, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Does your tongue cause destruction? Or does it bring solutions and help to situations in your lives? Is your tongue truthful? Wow, that's a tongue twister. Is your tongue truthful or is it deceptive? At school or on your teams or wherever you are with other people, do you egg people on against each other? Or are you a peacekeeper trying to keep people from going at one another? So David continues on. Psalm 52, 3 through 5. You love evil more than good, falsehood more than speaking what is right. Selah. And that word Selah means pause and think about this. Think for a moment. You love all words that devour, O deceitful tongue, but God will break you down forever. He will snatch you up and tear you away from your tent and uproot you from the land of the living. Pause and think about that for a minute. Whew, man, that's brutal. You see, all these deceitful people who love their sin and love falsehood are going to reap what they sow. They are going to get what's coming to them. All this destruction they're planning and plotting against other people is going to be destruction brought upon them in the wrath of God. And you see, people like Doeg trade shining eternally with God for a temporary time to shine in this life. See, Doeg is great in his own eyes, but he's small in God's eyes. Whereas David is small in Doeg's eyes, but great in God's eyes. You see, by causing other people harm and strife, by gaining your way to the top at other people's expenses in life, is going to lead you to eternal devastation, where God will literally snatch you up out of his eternal kingdom. I mean, that's a sobering text, isn't it? It really kind of makes you think, like, man, where am I at? Do I really want good for other people? Do I love God? Do I love goodness? Or do I like boasting about bad things that I'm doing? Am I enjoying sin? But see, Doeg had this little time to boast about himself and shine, but he's going to spend eternity in complete darkness and never shine again. And David displays that for us here in the text, calling this Doeg dude out. See, don't make that mistake. This is God sharing with you that he loves you and he doesn't want that for you. This is not what God wants for you. And I hope that's not what you want for yourself. But see, that's what we see here is evildoers' limelight is short-lived. That's going to bring us to our next point. which is the righteous have the last laugh. So David continues on, and he kind of pivots here. Psalm 52, 6 through 7. The righteous will see and fear and will laugh at him, saying, "Behold, the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and was strong in his evil desire." You see, while all the deceitful people in the world are laughing it up, while they're all laughing about the destruction they're causing and turmoil, David shares with us here that the righteous will have the last laugh. We see this happen throughout all history. And you see it in almost every single Hollywood movie, don't you? The bad guy always ends up as the laughing stock. All their evil scheming ends up getting them right where they belong. Let's go back to Lion King for a minute. What ends up happening with Scar? In the Lion King, he lies to everyone. He pretends to be on the hyena side, but he really wants to take over the lion pride. And so, he's lying to both sides. And at the end, he betrays the hyenas and starts blaming them and telling Simba, "Oh, it's all their fault. It was all their plan." And then as soon as Simba knocks him off the hill, the hyenas start closing in on him. And he's like, "No, friends, come on." And they end up destroying him, don't they? And, when that happens, we all watch that and we go, "Ha ha, Scar, see, that's what you get, man. You're evil." And we're happy. We love when the bad guy gets what's coming to him because it's just. It's what they deserve. Sorry, that was really loud. But, that's the point, is it never, see, these people, they think that they're building their own name, they're having their kingdom here on earth, but it never works out for them. It really doesn't, the bad guy, because the wages of sin is death, and no worker of iniquity will ever succeed. They will be judged eternally by God, and that's just the fact. That's what God's word tells us. You see, and deceitful people strengthen themselves in their evil and trust in the abundance of their riches. I read that Elvis Presley in 2002 made $35 million, and this is all, mind you, 25 years after he's been dead. I don't know that I'll ever make that much money in my entire life, and I'm alive right now, so that's pretty crazy that he there's a picture of him for those of you guys who don't know who he is. But apparently his family began fighting over who's going to get what, and they even, they were getting to the point where they weren't talking to each other, and they were also blaming Graceland, this place that's selling his stuff still, his shirts and merchandise and CDs and stuff. And they started accusing them of shorting them money. They're like, "We shouldn't have gotten $35 million. We should have gotten $35.5 million. What's going on here?" It's like, are you guys serious? You're seriously putting your trust, all you care about this money from a dead relative. You don't care about God. All you care about is what you're getting out of some dead relative and the abundance of his riches. And they're fighting with each other over these earthly riches. And the same thing happened with John Lennon from the Beatles. He had the same thing. His sons won't even talk to each other. They were fighting over $20 million he had made that same year. And you see, these people are strengthening themselves in their wickedness, their greed, their lust. They care more about money and their pride than they do about their own brothers, about their own family. And I want to ask you guys, see, as Doeg is doing this, do you put your trust in God or in the abundance of your riches? And what I mean by that is maybe for you find comfort in how many, for guys, maybe how many Xbox games you have or how many followers you have on Twitter or Instagram or all the things you've accumulated over your life. But when you come to the judgment and stand before God, when you meet your Maker, when you die, and eventually one day all of us will, how many likes you had on Facebook isn't going to mean anything. How many touchdowns you scored is not going to matter at your funeral. What you did for the eternal kingdom by depending on God is the only thing that is going to have any significance. And so right here, God's really warning us and reminding us to look at this life that Doeg's living, building and putting his trust in building his kingdom here and accumulating all these riches and getting in good with the king. He's all focused on that, and it doesn't mean anything. It's going to burn up at the judgment. Now that stuff matters. And so do you strengthen yourself in God and what He's doing in your life? Or do you strengthen yourself in what you're doing in your life? Don't strengthen yourself in wickedness, which is going to be done away with. Strengthen yourself in God, who will reign forever. Maybe you guys are wondering, well, Jared, you know, that's cool. I like the advice, but how can I do this? By not pursuing worldly things, but pursuing God's calling for your life by spending time with Him daily in prayer, in His Word, serving others, and really letting other people advance ahead at your expense rather than clawing your way to the top at everyone else's expense. And this mindset comes from Matthew 20:16, so the last shall be first and the first last. And that's really the eternal kingdom way it's going to be. If you want to be first, you're going to be a servant. You're going to put others before you. Doeg wasn't doing that. He was putting himself before everyone else. He didn't care who he had to destroy on his way to the top. Did he? He didn't care that the priests were innocent. He knew they were, but he gladly slaughtered them all. And so that's the heart of a deceiver. But what I want you guys to see here is that, like Doeg, you know, he is getting, like I said, it kind of goes back to that first point. He's building his kingdom here. He's getting in good with King Saul, but his limelight is short-lived. And in the end, we all look at guys like Doeg, and the righteous have the last laugh. Because while he's laughing about all this destruction and bragging and boasting about everything he's doing, we're going to look at him and say, behold, look at this fool who didn't make his refuge God, but trusted in the abundance of his riches. And so the righteous have the last laugh. And that's going to bring us to the final point, shining in God's eyes. See, Psalm 52:8, as he continues, but as for me, I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the loving kindness of God forever and ever. And David's talking about himself now. He's no longer addressing Doeg or talking about, how it's going to turn out for Doeg and how it is for those who live righteously. But he addresses himself now and says, but as for me, I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in His goodness and His loving kindness and in God forever and ever. See, what did we just read back in verse 5, that pretty intense text? God will uproot the wicked from the land of the living. Doeg is wicked, and that word uproot is referring to God completely taking him out of the eternal kingdom. Uproot is like a tree grows down in the ground and has like deep roots and stuff. God is going to completely uproot the wicked out of the eternal kingdom. Whereas David refers to himself as an olive tree, which lives for many years and bears lots of fruit, blessing the land around it. And see, where Doeg was like a dead, useless tree that bared no fruit, and was just like a dead, we're going to get into the fig tree and how Jesus addressed that, but it's basically like this dead, worthless tree that birds just come and crap on. And in Matthew 21:18-22, we see a cool kind of contrast with this. It says, early in the morning, as Jesus was on his way back to the city, he was hungry, seeing a fig tree by the road. He went up to it, but found nothing on it except leaves. Then he said to it, may you never bear fruit again. Immediately the tree withered. See, don't be the fig tree. Don't be the uprooted tree like Doeg. As believers, God's given you time on this earth to bear fruit, to be like David, a son of God, and to bless many by living righteously, by living not in sin, but by loving God, by loving and trusting in His goodness and not trusting in yourself. And by doing that, by living righteously, you're like a beautiful, tropical, fruitful tree in the eyes of the Lord, not a useless waste of space, dead tree that's benefiting no one. And so that's what I want you guys to look at that and think, man, am I really loving God? Am I living righteously? Am I pursuing Him? Am I pursuing a relationship with Him? Is there fruit in my life? Or am I just kind of like a dead animal floating down river? Am I just like this dead tree that's not benefiting anyone? And so as we close out the text, Psalm 52:9, David says, I will give you thanks forever because you have done it, and I will wait on your name, for it is good, in the presence of your godly ones. You see, even in this difficult circumstance, where David could easily be upset with God because all these crazy things are happening, he's having to flee from Saul. Saul, this crazy king, who he's super loyal to, wants him dead. But instead of questioning God, he's thankful and content because he trusts in God and not in his circumstances. Not his abundance of riches or in wickedness. And as believers, that's what we need to do, is not worry about building up our own name, but always giving thanks and building up God's name, for God's name is good. Our name's not good. See, and David understood that. And so, this psalm really plays hand in hand with the series we're doing on the weekend of Legends and Men. And see, what I mean by that is, Doeg thought he was becoming a legend, but came to find out he was just a man that God uprooted out of his eternal kingdom. And David knew he was just a man and knew the goodness of God's name and put all his trust in who God is rather than who he was. And so David was exalted. And so as we close out this text, I really want, you know, like I say, this is like probably the most important part is for you guys to take what we see in God's word and apply it to your lives, what God's trying to show you here. And like I said in the beginning, there's two kinds of people in this world. There's believers and there's non-believers. Sons of God and sons of Satan. There's Davids and there's Doegs. You see, and everyone is a sinner, like we said. We all sin. David and Doeg were both sinners, but how they reacted to their sin is really what set them apart. David was ashamed of his sin, and he hated his sin. Doeg loved his sin and bragged and boasted about it. How do you feel about your sin? Do you brag about the things you do that you know are wrong? Or do you turn from your sin and hate your sin and confess it to God? Is God your refuge, and are you seeking his kingdom, or are you seeking earthly riches and taking refuge in your accomplishments and everything you accumulate here on this earth? Is what God's doing in your life more important to you than how much money you have, how many likes you have on Instagram or Facebook, or how many Xbox games or purses you guys have? Where is your priority? What do you put your faith in? Is it God and his accomplishments? Or is it your riches and your accomplishments? Are you truly like a David, or are you more like a Doeg? Are you a deceiver? Are you a believer? And you know, I know that this is a really intense message. It was super convicting for me to even study this and go through this. But what I want to let you guys know is, like I said, if you're more like Doeg, if you have been stumbling in sin and living in sin and unrepented of it and maybe even bragging about it, God wants you to repent. That word repent means to change your mind, to think the way God thinks, to depend on him, to become like him. And so if that is you tonight, I want to challenge you to be real with God tonight, to go find a quiet place and to just get in prayer and say, God, I have been loving sin. And be honest with him and say, Lord, even if you still love your sin, say, God, make me to where I hate sin, like you, to where I don't want to do that. If you've been putting your priorities in the abundance of the riches you have in this earth, if you're living for earthly things, take that to God and say, God, I don't want to live for things that are vanity, things that are going to be gone, things that don't matter in the big picture, in the eternal picture. I want to live for you. I want to live for your kingdom. And I promise you, if you go and you're honest with God and you come before him and you share that with him, he'll get you to where you need to be. He'll change your heart. He'll come into your life. Because he cares and loves every single one of you. God loved Doeg. But Doeg rejected and rejected and kept loving evil and kept loving sin. And sadly, there's people in this world, possibly even in this room, who are not going to listen to God's calling people out. Like right now, right here. And they're not going to listen. They're not going to heed God's warnings. And they're just going to keep following that path. And what's the ultimatum for those people? God's going to uproot them, and they're going to fall into the pits that they set for others to fall into. But really, guys, I mean, if that's you tonight, if you're struggling with sin in your life, if you're living for this earth and this kingdom, we have leaders here who love you guys and who want to talk to you guys and want to pray with you about these struggles. Take advantage of God's love. These leaders aren't here because these leaders aren't just here to just stand here and to just kind of look at you guys. They want to know you guys. They want to disciple you guys. They want to help you. They want to guide you on a path to loving God and righteousness and being used for eternal glory with God. And so please, guys, heed this word. Listen to God's calling on your life. If that's you tonight, go find a leader. Come talk to me. Go talk to Jesse. We want to pray for you. We want to encourage you. We want to come alongside you and help you get your heart where you need to be. And for those of you who maybe aren't dealing with sin or anything, you know, be wise about the people around you, about people who may have destruction in their hearts. Be somebody who stands up for righteousness and doesn't add to gossiping that people are doing at your schools or on your teams, slandering and bad naming people and trying to turn people against each other. Come and be healing to that situation and a solution. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for what a gracious God you are. And the fact that your son came and died here for people like Doeg, Lord. But sadly, it's a gift that you offer. You're a gentleman. You're not going to force it upon anyone. People have to receive that gift. They have to want that gift. They have to love you, Father, and your goodness, and be motivated by the love. You loved us first, and that's why we love you. We didn't deserve it. And so, God, I just pray for students right now, Lord, that if there's sin in their life, that they would be heavily convicted right now. That if they're struggling with these things that we're seeing in your word, that they truly would take advantage of your love. The fact that you have them here tonight at a place where people who love you, God, and in that love them and want to talk to them, want to pray with them, and want to share with them. God, I pray that you would just give them that desire to want to turn from sin and to be like a David and to not continue to feed that sin and be like Doeg. So God, I pray that you truly will have your hand upon them, and as they leave this place, even if they don't take advantage of it now, you know, hopefully, Lord, I just pray that you plant a seed and that it just begins to stir within them, and they know that they need to get more involved, that they need to be pursuing you more and not pursuing earthly riches or this temporary kingdom here. But they want to shine in eternity with you, God, and not have a temporary limelight here on this earth. We pray all this in your mighty son's name. Amen.